Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 2 this morning as we continue our You Asked For It 2 series. And we began the series by talking about the mark of the beast and what that means. And it's been interesting, even over the last couple of weeks, just seeing things pop up on my Facebook feed about people worried about somehow getting the mark of the beast through this or that. And so I've had some good conversations with people this week saying, you know, I just talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and some people have asked for the message, and so they've been able to listen to it. So it's been an interesting conversation, and one that probably won't go away for some time. And then last week, we talked about the will of God, and a lot of people have some wrong ideas and have been subjected to maybe some improper teaching on the will of God, which can cause so much confusion, so much fear and worry, when that is not the life that God wants from us. He wants us to live a life where we're confident, where we have peace, where we have joy. We shouldn't be worried about over every little decision we make in life. The will of God is about being who God wants you to be. And as you are who God wants you to be, He will help you to make the choices you need to make. So you don't need to worry about, if I choose this over this, did I somehow lose God's will for my life? And so, spent some time talking about that. If you weren't here, then you can go ahead and check that out online. This morning, we want to talk about our response to government. And we've all been thinking a lot about government the last few weeks. Actually, for the last year, we have nonstop been bombarded about government. So, thankful that all the commercials are done. Man. At that point, when it got down to the end, I basically was like, I don't even care who wins. I just don't want to hear these commercials anymore, please. Like, which I think that's part of the plan, maybe. But government's on our minds, and so we want to talk today about our response to government. And specifically, one of the things that was asked was this. What do we do if our government tells us to do something that goes against what God has told us to do? So either they say, you need to do this, and God said, listen, no, you shouldn't do that. Or they say, hey, you cannot do this, but God has very clearly said, you are to do this. So what, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, what should my response be to that? But let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. We'll read a couple of verses, have a word of prayer, and then look at the topic this morning. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse number 13, says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And man, I think this time has brought about a lot of those people, so let's try to put them to silence here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together and sing praises to your name. And Lord, encourage each other, even though we're kind of socially distanced and separated a little bit and don't have the close contact that we have enjoyed in the past. It's still so wonderful to be able to look around and see the smiles on people's faces and laugh and have a good time together. And Lord, then also spend some time looking into your word. And Lord, I'm thankful for every person who's come today, every person who has joined us online. I pray that you would bless each of them. And Lord, speak to each one of us. I don't know everybody in this room personally this morning. I don't even know everybody who's watching online. But God, you do. You see them, you know what they're going through. And Lord, we're going to look at this topic, but there may be something else that you desire to speak to somebody about. And I pray that you would do that today. And that, Lord, we'd go away, first of all, knowing Jesus as our Savior. If there's somebody without Jesus, I pray your Spirit would do the work that only He can do. And that is convict them of their sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And may they trust Jesus to be their Savior today. And for Christians, I pray that you'd help us, because this is a topic that for a lot of people, is on the forefront of their minds, thinking about the election and the outcome and the future days ahead for our country and the church. And so we pray that you would help us, give us some guidance, give us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thinking about government, thinking about politics, I want you to raise your hand today. We're not going to have some sort of debate, because I know we have varied political views, and that's okay. But how many of you would say, just raise your hand, that you like politics? You are one of the people that you like to watch it, you like to listen to it on the radio, you like to talk about it. All right, so we do have a few people in here. Some started like this. They're like, is anybody else raising their hand, first of all? All right, politics. Some of you like that, and that's okay. Okay, nothing wrong with that. I guess. Actually, what I was going to say is, all right, everybody pay attention to whose hand went up, because those are the people you need to stay away from. I had also thought about doing this. I thought, man, it'd be kind of fun if this morning when we came in, we had everybody sit according to their political affiliation. So, like, we put all the independents over here, and then we could put the libertarians, have them sit over here. Republicans, you guys could go up there, and then we could put the Democrats down here and have everybody sit according to their political affiliation. And I'm like, well, that's probably not a good idea. We're trying to promote unity, right, and not disunity. But then I was like, well, if we put those people in those places, then what we would do is put the Bible believers on the stage. So I would be up here. Then and I say that because you can be a Christian and have differing opinions and different thoughts and different viewpoints on some things, and that's okay. Yeah. Now, there are some things I think the Bible's very clear on that we need to stand upon, but we're not going to get into that right now. But I'm not a fan of politics, personally. Like, I don't just sit and watch the news. I don't just turn on political radio and listen to that. I believe in purposefully seeking out information. And I think it is important for us to know what's going on in our society and culture so that we can have an opportunity to correctly speak Jesus into it. It's hard to reach a society that you don't know anything about. It's hard to reach a culture that you don't really know what it's all about. So I think that is important. And today we're just going to kind of dip our toes into the water just a little bit. And we touched on this just a little bit last week when we talked about the will of God. And we're here at 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let's look at this again as we kind of set the stage here, because we did touch on this, where Peter tells us, so remember who's writing here, this is Peter, and Peter lived in a time where the government was very oppressive to the Christian faith, and this is what he says. He says, and he's talking to other Christians, and he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So he's looking out at the Roman government and telling these Christians, you need to obey what the Roman government tells you to do, not because you necessarily love the Roman government and you love the rules that they're making and you understand them and you agree with them and all this stuff. No, he said, you need to obey for the Lord's sake. And he qualifies, all right, when I say you need to obey, this is who I'm talking about. He says, first of all, whether it be to the king as supreme. So we could, for our culture and our circumstance, we could talk about the president there for a while if we wanted to. He says, or unto governors. And notice what he says government is really here for. He says, as unto those that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And he says, verse 15, and this is why we touched on this last week, for so is the will of God. So Peter says it's God's will for you to be obedient to your government officials, to the laws of your land. So when you think about, and you're searching for God's will, and we're not going to repeat everything, but he says one of the things is to be obedient to the government. If you're disobedient to the government, you are not doing the will of God. I'm not doing the will of God. And he says, that with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And talks about what a great Christian witness obedience can be. Paul writes this in Romans chapter number 13. Once again, Paul is writing about the same government that Peter was writing about. And he says this in verses 1 and 2. I would encourage you to spend a little more time on your own in Romans 13, maybe later on this afternoon. But verse 1, he says this, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And I want you to pay attention to that. The powers that be are ordained of God. There is no power unless God allows the power to exist. So you think about all the presidents that we've had in the past. They were put into power because God allowed them to be put into power. And you think about whatever president we will have in the future. And I don't necessarily care what your thoughts are about Biden or about Trump. That doesn't really matter. Whoever is going to step into that office in January will step into that office because God has allowed it to happen. So it doesn't matter about what you think about the election, about being rigged or stolen or whatever. All the controversy that is going to ensue for the next couple of months, whoever steps into that office will step so because God has allowed it. And as a believer, you should be okay with that. Okay, if your world ends because a certain person got into office, you don't have faith in the right thing. So I want to make sure you understand that. The powers that be are ordained of God. I don't have to fear when election time comes around. I have nothing to fear because my God is in control, no matter who gets in that office. And some people have been very afraid for the last 4 years, and they haven't had to because God is in control. He's been in control the entire time. So whatever happens, our God is in control. That you do not have to be afraid. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so we'll get into verse 2, which says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resist the ordinance of God." So in other words, he says, if you go against the government, you go against the power that God has allowed to come into place, you'd better understand that you are resisting against God. That should scare every single one of us. To think that I could be resisting against God because I'm resisting against government officials. You say, but what if? Well, we'll get to that, okay? We'll get there, I promise you. So he says, "They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." The word damnation there is basically saying you're going to get a punishment. He's not talking about eternal damnation. He's talking about like a judge that rules out a punishment, makes a decree. In other words, there's going to be repercussions for that, and rightly so. So when you think about he resisting the government here, how many of you would raise your hand and say, in one way, shape, or form, I have broken a law? One way, shape, or form, I've broken a law. Okay, yeah, a lot of us. If you've gone 1 mile over the speed limit, you have broken the law. Okay? Hate to break it to you, but there's a 5 mile an hour grace. No, I don't think that's written in the law anywhere. I don't think that's in there. I looked. It's not there. Let's see. I'm kind of curious. I want to know what kind of laws you've broken. So is there anybody that would be brave enough to share with us, like, what law have you broken? Yes. All right, speeding. How many of you would say I've done that? Okay. If you've driven a car, you've done that. Whether or not you got caught, you've done it. Okay? All right, speeding. Somebody have something else? Anything else you want to confess to, like, I did it? Yeah?
I ran two red lights, but it was both an accident.
Oh, yeah, and that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's an accident or not. Like, you broke the law. Yes?
Stolen food.
Wow. It is stealing, yes. Nice. No gauges, just driving down. Officers come in. He made a full confession. Just come in, take him away. Yes? Trespassed where? Walked into a stranger's. That's so funny. So for those who are watching online, they just like went in somebody's house by accident and were like chilling in somebody's house that they did not have permission to be in. Yeah, somebody over here. Pastor. No hunting on government property. Okay. Yeah.
I stole a penny from an old lady's car.
Stole a penny? Ben stole a penny from an old lady's car. So, I think that, yes, Thomas, what'd you do?
So, shortly after I got my car, I had no idea what the high brights were on it. And because I was afraid to use them, for a long time, I was driving without my headlights on at all.
Like, man, it is so dark out. Driving with no headlights. Okay, so we've all broken the law one way, shape, or form. And when we break the law, okay, when we do that, we are deserving of a punishment. Sometimes we get away with it. Sometimes we don't. And there's been times in my life where I've sped tons. Okay, I have one speeding ticket. One time I got busted for it. And here I want us to turn to Daniel chapter number 3, because we want to focus in on this aspect of, okay, we know we should obey. It's very clear in Scripture, both Peter, both Paul, talking about very perverse governments, said you need to obey. And if you do, you're resisting against God. And if you do, you are deserving of whatever punishment you get. So when I sped in Wyoming and the trooper pulled me over and gave me a ticket, I deserve that because I broke the law. So here we are in Daniel chapter number 3, and we could turn to a few different portions of Scripture that kind of make the point that we want to talk about. We're going to walk through Daniel chapter number 3 here just very briefly. And let's pick up in verse number 1, where it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then all these rulers, in verse number 3, were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image. Verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound, and he lists all these different instruments, fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So here's the law that's passed. Nebuchadnezzar, as it tells us like 8 times, he set up this image and said, all right, we're gonna play the music. Now the music's not the issue, okay? Some people like go crazy with this portion of Scripture. Like, music has always been involved in worship. It will continue to be even in heaven. So the fact that there's music or it's this instrument or that instrument, no, that's not what it's talking about. But when the music is played, you fall down and worship the image. Okay, so that's the law. And the punishment was, if you don't, you'll be burned alive. So the law is passed and the judgment is set. So in verse number 7, it tells us, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of all these different instruments, All the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image. Except for verse number 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near, so these are other rulers, and accused the Jews. And verse number 9, they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of all these instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So music plays. Everybody falls down and worships the image. Well, almost everybody. And I want you to see here that playing politics is nothing new. Okay, this has been going on for thousands of years. So you can, for yourself, read through the book of Daniel and see the jealousy that was taking place here as Daniel and some of his, those people who were with him were given places of prominence, given places of power. Other people didn't like that, so they wanted to do whatever they could do to unseat them and take their spot. And so the music's played, and I'm sure they're watching. They're watching these guys. Everybody falls down except for these guys. And they go right to the king. Hey, didn't you say? And, you know, I notice the reputation, though, that these guys had in verse number 12. He says, they serve not thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had a reputation that they served the one true God. We see that going all the way back to Daniel chapter number 1, where Daniel and those who were with him said, we're not going to defile ourselves. We're going to obey God. So they had that reputation already. In fact, in Daniel chapter number 6, we see that Daniel too had a reputation for serving God. In fact, the only way that those who hated him could get him was to outlaw his faith. It was the only way they knew they could trap up Daniel. We get to verse number 13. Nebuchadnezzar is so angry. It tells us in his rage and fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of all these instruments, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And I'd like this because he does show a little bit of long-suffering. He doesn't just automatically just throw them in the fiery furnace, which kind of tells me he had a little bit of respect for these people, much as Darius later did for Daniel. And he says, maybe you didn't understand. Maybe you didn't hear it right. When the music's played, you fall down and worship, or you're thrown into the fiery furnace. Like you're going to be burned alive. And when he asks the question, who's the God that can save you from me? The implied answer is, listen, nothing's going to save you. Like nobody's going to stop me from throwing you in. And I believe he was personally challenging God Almighty. He said, your God's not going to save you. Now, we understand that God did save them. But I love the response, okay? So, in verse 16, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, first thing I want you to understand is, notice the respect that they answer the king with. The book of Jude is very clear that we need to be careful about the words that we say, especially to people in authority. So we need to be careful about how we talk about them, what we say about them, the jokes that we tell, and whatever else. They're very respectful to the king, even though they understand the commands that he had given them were not okay. And so they respectfully say to him, If it be so, verse 17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So the law is decreed. These men had a choice to make. So this is where we're kind of turning the corner from saying just obey whatever. Okay? The law was made, music's played, you worship the golden image, but God had already said, you worship no other gods but me. That's it. So they had a command from God, they had a command from government, the choice is there. What is the choice that we need to make? And that's the same choice that Peter and the apostles would have to make thousands of years later in Acts chapter number 5, when they're in Jerusalem and they're healing people and they're doing all these great things. I mean, you're talking about, the Bible tells us all these sick people were coming into town, and if Peter's shadow went across them, they were healed. He had the power of God on him in incredible ways. And they're preaching Jesus and using those things as an opportunity to talk about the Messiah and salvation. And so the religious leaders throw them in prison and say, hey, don't preach about Jesus anymore. Well, God lets them out of prison. And they go right back to the temple. They go on preaching Jesus. And when the religious leaders hear about it, they come and find them and say, hey, didn't we tell you, like, don't preach Jesus or we're going to throw you in jail, we're going to beat you? And they say in verse number 29, Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than man. So that's the same choice that these three men had to make in the book of Daniel. Are we going to obey God? Are we going to obey man? So we have to, the choice is between what God has said is right and what man tells us to do. And I want you to notice that the choice is not between what I think is right and or fair and what man tells us to do. Those are two very different things. Because there are some things that I think, man, that's not fair. Like, it's not right. When I look at some of the mandates going on right now, like don't have Thanksgiving with your family. I look at that and I think, that's just not right. That's what I think. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it mandate Thanksgiving of a certain size. So you see the difference. It's between the difference between what did God actually say is right versus what do I think is right or fair. Those are two very different things. And I'm going to make a few enemies this morning, but I think it needs to be said, the Constitution, U.S. Constitution, is not the Bible. It's not the Bible. It is a great document. It is an important piece of literature. I mean, the wisdom that our founding fathers used with the checks and balances as they established our government is an amazing thing, and I'm thankful for it. But up to this point, you and I have not had to make the choice between do I do what God says to do or I do what the government tells me to do. You have not one time in your life in this country had to make that choice. You have not had to. I have not had to up to this point in my life. Now, that day may be coming, and it may be coming quickly. And some of you don't like me saying what I'm saying right now, and that's okay. But we haven't had to make that choice. And I'm thankful for that. But just because the U.S. Constitution says you have these rights, you have these freedoms, and I feel like somebody encroaches on those rights or those freedoms, does not give me the right to go against my government. So if the government says you need to wear a mask, and this may be coming, the government may say you need to wear a mask the moment you step outside your door. So we have a choice to make at that point. Like, am I going to do what the scripture tells me to do, where it says obey government? Or am I going to say, you know, who are you? Like, I have rights. Remember what it said about putting to silence the foolishness of the ignorant. So, some certain things, it's very clear. Like, God says this, he doesn't say this. So I want to talk about just a couple of issues here. One from a few years ago, and one that is more current, okay? So, first let's talk about the Ten Commandments. And I want some response on this. Does God command us to publicly display the Ten Commandments? Doesn't. He does not. Nowhere that I've found in the Bible yet. Okay? As far as I know, there's no like hidden pages that stuck together that say, post the Ten Commandments publicly for people to see, especially on government property. So I lived in Alabama for a while, and when I was living in Alabama, there was a huge fight about the Ten Commandments on government property. And it was crazy to me to see like Christians just going nuts. Like they don't care about what the rest of the community thinks about their testimony for Jesus or anything else. They cared more about their right to display the Ten Commandments on government property than they did about reaching their neighbor for Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the Ten Commandments are great. Like, they're given to us by God. So they're a great thing. But nowhere does God say, and this is where we need to get into, what did God actually say? Nowhere does it say, post the Ten Commandments on government property, and if they're taken away from government property, then we can cause all kinds of trouble. It doesn't say that. So it's not a choice between the government says this and God says this and I'm choosing God. No, some people use that as an excuse for some of the things they did during those days. And they used God as an excuse when God really didn't say. All right, let's talk about a second one, which is more current for right now and what we're in, and that is church. Does God command us to gather together as a church? Yes, he does. Now let me take a step further. Does God command us to gather together as a church the way we are right now? No, he doesn't. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we have to gather together as hundreds in one place. And if the government says you cannot gather all together as hundreds, well, then we can just do whatever we want. We're being oppressed by our government. No. Nowhere do you find the New Testament Christians all gathering together by the hundreds or the thousands. There were certain times at the temple. The scripture tells us they gathered every day, house to house. So when their government was oppressing Christianity, you know what they did? Is they did gather together, maybe not all in one place. They had this group meeting over in this house and this group meeting over in this house. We still have the freedom to gather together. It may not be the way that we're used to, and there's nothing wrong with that. So yes, we do need to continue to gather together as believers, but if, and I'm thankful for the governor that we've had, if the governor says, listen, as a church, you can't have more than 25 people in a building, what are we going to do? Well, we're still going to gather together, and we're going to do our best to be obedient to the government that God has placed over us. So we want to understand, and this is where we want to get to, is get to a place where we know this is what God did actually say. So that when the government says this or that, and man, what a crazy year it's been. And let me say that when we made the choice not to meet in person back in March, there was no government official that told us to do that. There was so much unknown at the time. So we said, we want to be safe. We want to be careful, and we'll meet together however we can. But we need to know, all right, what does God say? So that when things happen, when rules are, and laws are made, we can already know ahead of time, this is what God said, and I can recognize whether or not it goes against what God said. And just because our tradition has been one way, just because our history has always been one way, and I'm thinking about specifically about church gatherings here, doesn't mean that's the way it always has to be. We can change what we've done and still be obedient to our government and still be obedient to our God. And that's why I say up to this point, we still have not had to make the choice. Do I obey God rather than men? But I do believe it's coming. But they say, listen, these men say, and this is where it gets to that point. So it hasn't happened yet, but when it happens, what do? We choose God. We choose God. But this is what I want you to understand. We always ought to choose to obey God rather than men. But we have to be willing to accept whatever the fallout is from that. We have to be willing to accept whatever the repercussions are thereof. So if the government does say, listen, no, Christianity's done. Like, we are not allowing Christians to meet at all anymore. Like, we're still going to meet. We'll be a little smart about the way we meet. We're still going to meet. But say the government does say that, and we decide, you know what, and this is something I've been thinking about for a long time, way before COVID came. So what we're going to do is we'll meet in houses. Like, every night of the week, a few of us will gather at one house, and then I'll go Tuesday to another house where a few people are gathered, Wednesday, and we'll just do it that way. But what happens, they've outlawed Christianity. They come, and I'm at Miss Wanda's house with Wanda and her family, and we're having church, and they come in, and they say, listen, we told you not to have church. You're going to jail. The response is, I go to jail. The response is not, I take up arms and start a revolution and whatever. No, it's not here. The example given to us in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is I obey God and accept whatever the punishment is for breaking my government laws. Amen. So you notice what happens here in Daniel chapter 3. As he's full of fury here, in verse number 19, Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, the form of his vision was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is how we know he was looking favorably at them before. He was giving them grace and opportunity because he cared about them. Now his person has changed against them. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont or used to be heated. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, and their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Notice, they just go. There's no struggle. There's no fight. There's no, we're trying to escape. We're trying to overthrow the government. No. They just allow themselves to be thrown in the furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. They said, listen, you can't pray to anybody but the king. Daniel said, I gotta obey God. And when it's found out, you know what Daniel does? He walks right in the lion's den. All right, this is the punishment. When they said, Peter, apostles, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus, or you're going to be stoned, you're going to be beaten, you're going to be imprisoned. They said, hey, we have to obey God. But they allowed themselves to be beaten. They allowed themselves to be imprisoned. The disciples allowed themselves to be killed for their witness for Jesus. So we need to know what God said, first of all. That's why I constantly tell you, please study the Bible for yourself. Please do not just take my word for it. Don't just take somebody's word for it. You're watching some message on YouTube or whatever. Like, study the Bible for yourself. You have to know what God says so that when something is declared law, you can look at it and say, Does it go against what God said? If the answer is no, then I obey. It doesn't matter how crazy I think it is. It doesn't matter how stupid I think it is. It doesn't matter if I agree. It doesn't matter if it's coming down upon what I believe my rights are to be. If it doesn't go against what God has said, I obey. That is the biblical response. If it does go against what God has said, I obey God. And whatever happens to me after that, whatever the punishment that my government has laid out, I need to be willing to accept it. And I'm thankful we're not at that place yet. But I believe there's going to be some things coming down the pipeline that personally I don't necessarily agree with. But it doesn't go against what God said. I believe that's coming. And as a congregation, as a witness for Jesus in our community, I want us as a whole to say, you know what? It doesn't matter if I believe it's infringing on my rights. If my government has told me to do it, my witness for Jesus matters more than my rights. It matters more than your rights. And Jesus has told us through his messengers, we are to obey. We are to obey. So that's the side we need to focus in on. Because for now, we've not been told to do something that our government, that God has not told us to do. They've never told us to go against the scripture to this point. And sometimes we want to focus in on those things that even haven't even happened yet. Instead of focusing in on what has God actually told us to do in our current climate, current circumstances, it's to obey. Because if I go against what the government has told me to do, God says, you're resisting against me. Because I'm the one who put them in place. I'm the one who put them in power, and I know exactly what it is they're going to decree. So obey, but obey as unto the Lord. As it tells us in Romans chapter number 13 here, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment.